The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
Welcome to the Accelerated HVAC Success Program. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman, Amana, and Daikin brands. Today, we're joined here with Daniel Besben, and he is with Just Give Me the Price. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm excited about this.
So, Daniel, you know, the first question I ask every guest that comes on the show is, how in the world did you find yourself in this industry we call HVAC?
My answer is probably a little boring. I just decided to get a sales job. And no, actually, the truth is, every time I've moved from major cities, I find myself a commission-only sales job. I love the idea of being rewarded based on your production. And I was living in Atlanta, finished up a couple of projects, but I had just moved there a year earlier and went, okay, I think it's time to get a sales job. And that's how I got it. Yeah.
So before then, you were never in HVAC?
No, never. I was in remodeling. Kitchen and bath remodeling.
Okay.
Actually helped specialize in helping IKEA customers all over Texas. And so I rub shoulders with the industry from time to time, but I was a complete newcomer. And the first company I started with was a little rough. You know, anytime I asked a sales manager a technical question, he was like, you're overthinking it, you know, just go find out what size they have and replace it with the same. But, you know, in a way, maybe that was the right treatment. I didn't last very long over there. I was like, no, I really want to know what I'm doing. But, yeah, I just kind of got thrown into it. But I have a long sales history, and I love selling. And I wish, really, that I had gotten into it sooner.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so how long have you been in HVAC now?
Just over 3.5 years, Ben.
Okay. So yeah. 3.5 years. Yeah. In that short period of time that you've been in the industry, what are some of the things that you really love about the industry? And what are some of the things maybe you don't love so much?
What I love about it is the speed of delivery. You know, when I was in the kitchen and bath remodeling industry, I would sell maybe a $25,000, $35,000 job. And that would take 2 to 3 weeks to deliver. Not including the gaps when you're waiting for other trades to come in, that type of thing. There's a lot that can happen in 2 to 3 weeks. When you sell two air conditioners for $25,000, they go in the next day, right? I mean, so the speed of delivery, I think, is incredible. I don't really know that there is another industry where that speed of delivery is that fast. So I love that about it. You know, what don't I love about it? I guess from a sales point of view, there are a lot of people with sticker shock. There's a lot of people that have no idea what these things cost now. And it's just it's a process to work through that. But I also love the fact that people love the product, you know. So it's just so I can see why when people get into it, they never leave. You know, I've been to the Daikin conference here about 6 weeks ago, and it's just an incredible group of people. You learn from the other attendees as much as you learn from the speakers. So it's a tight industry. So there's a lot to love about it.
It is kind of one of the things that I think a lot of people joke about in this industry. Once you get in, you can never get out.
Yes.
Kind of like the Hotel California.
Yes.
But, you know, being in this industry, you've got an interesting perspective because you come from the outside and you've actually created your own YouTube show that you kind of go through. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I'll tell you the whole story.
Okay.
You know, I'm a salesman. We like to tell stories, right? So I grew up in South Africa, learned to do photography professionally at age 13, went into the army. We all went to the army for 2 years. And I was a photographer in the army on this border between Angola and Namibia, South Africa's Vietnam, you know, it's crazy. But anyway, did a lot of photography, came out of there, studied hotel management, and then opened my own publishing company, publishing calendars for the retail trade. And in those days, you got a calendar from the butcher or the chemist. You didn't really buy it retail. But I got married to an American, and I would look at the American market and go, no, this is happening, right? So it was blood, sweat, and tears, just really hard work, created this beautiful, wonderful publishing business, sold it to an employee. It's still there, still doing very well. And then I moved to the States, moved to Austin, Texas. Initially got into the food industry in Austin. We had a business that made meals for busy families, about 35,000 servings of food per month. And I did all the marketing for that. I mean, Facebook, online, pay-per-click, the works, right? I actually had my own publication that I distributed door-to-door and so on. And that's really where I cut my teeth in marketing in America. And then I got into the kitchen and bathroom modeling industry. And my oldest son worked for me as a salesperson. Mm-hmm. And that's the one where we handle all the IKEA customers in all of Texas. So I had a business partner who was an engineer, very methodical guy. We would typically go on an appointment, talk to the customer, shake their hand, find out what they're looking at, you know, take pictures, discuss various things, go back to the office, and then take the spreadsheet that had all the line items, enter what they're looking for, and then email it. And we had about a 25% closing rate, which is not bad for that industry. Anyway, then I trained my oldest son, who's a millennial, in how to do it. And he came back one day and said, you know, I had 10 appointments this week, and 8 of them are never going to buy from us. I wasted 32 hours. Mm. And my business partner and I were like, welcome to the club. You know, that's what it takes. And he's like, no, there's got to be a better way. So he quietly went off and developed an instant way to bid a kitchen remodel. Mm. So what he would do is go in and take 2 measurements across the kitchen and ask about 15 questions and say, I need a few minutes and work this out. And virtually within 8 minutes, give somebody a price that we could go to contract with. And people were blown away. They were like, I am still waiting for 4 other quotes. No one else has told me. And he told me, he says, Dad, I could see once they've turned over to the last page, I could look at them and know if they were going to close or not. Mm. You know, they either had that sticker shock thing. And so his closing rate actually went up, right? Versus just going to the office and doing it. So then we moved to Atlanta, and he told me he wants to take this concept online. And I was like, no, people want to shake your hand and they want to meet you. And I mean, I'm a sales guy, right? I enjoy meeting people. And he goes, Dad, millennials are not interested. They just want the price, you know? So he just kind of beat it into me. And so we developed a system, the online system for bidding a kitchen remodel. Very, very complex thing to do because you have to calculate, you know, the type of flooring and electrical and what have you. So after I finished helping him with that, I got my sales job and started with this company that is a big national chain. And the sales manager for that particular branch just was a little rough and not really interested in training me. And I'd been in business for myself most of my working life. I'm not the kind of guy that want to walk into a sales appointment and not know technically what I'm doing, you know. And I kind of felt forced to do that. So anyway, I looked around and went, there's too much about this operation that doesn't appeal to me. So, but what they told me is that if I generate my own lead, they'll pay me a higher commission. Mm. And so I had already done this, right, with the kitchen thing. And I actually saw another company that provides it for online, for HVAC. And I approached them and said, hey, I'm a comfort consultant. Can I do a deal with you where you help me generate my own leads? And they turned me down because they were afraid that the company would be a bigger customer that they could potentially deal with. Mm. So they sort of forced me into, okay, I'll just do it myself then, because I had already done it, and it was actually much easier to do it for HVAC. So I started doing that. And then I got to a point where I go, I can't work for this company, and I resigned. And I looked at possibly operating as a sort of independent broker where I just generate leads in a certain area and I make relationships with companies around me. I don't think that's really done in this industry, but I sort of toyed with that idea. And in the process of reaching out to a bunch of companies, one contacted me and said, we'd like to talk to you about a full-time position. But the owner is overseas for 2 weeks. Would you mind waiting for 2 weeks until he comes back to do the interview? But anyway, I got on the phone with the general manager for that company, and they get their leads from a high-end big box store. And it was an hour and a half on the phone with this guy, and I went, this sounds like a really great fit for me. So I told him, I said, look, I'm already generating some leads. Would it be okay if I send them to you? And he said, of course, you know. So I did, and they closed some of them, and they sent me a very handsome check for it, you know.
Uh-huh.
So 2 weeks later, the owner arrives, and I'm arriving for the interview. And I sit down, and I take my laptop out of my bag. And he goes, what are you doing? And I said, I thought I'm going to show you this lead generation thing. And he says, oh, no, I'm not interested. We generate all our leads through this big box store. The people you're promoting to are just price shoppers. I'm just like, slide the thing back. Okay. You tell me what you need and want from me.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it was, I need you to sell. Within the first year of working there, I did 2.9 million, which made me the second highest producer out of about 20 salespeople. And I was pretty happy with that. And part of my success was I told them, I want to go and photograph an installation from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I would get right in there with my iPhone and really capture the whole thing. And so when I go on a sales appointment and somebody asks a question like, are you going to replace the line set? I'd go, no, we're not going to do it, but here's what we are going to do. Let me show you. And I obviously quickly came across as an expert because I had to learn quickly. And that's what I did. And the feedback I started getting from people was like, no one else has really told me what you've told me, and I really understand what's going on now. At the same time, I had a very simple little drawing that I would do to explain the basics of air conditioning and particularly go into why variable speed is so important. And once again, I got that feedback. So I decided to do a whiteboard video with that explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 30-minute video. And I started sending it out ahead of appointments, where I tell people, hey, I'll brief you on this, but if you do have time to watch this before I get there. And I created a website called Daniel Discovers Comfort. my oldest son's influence. I had this very corporate-looking website. And he goes, Dad, it looks too corporate. You need to get a little more homey with it. So he says, and you have a story to tell. You know, I didn't grow up with air conditioning in South Africa. So that's where the Daniel Discovers Comfort comes from. So that became my little platform for content. And I'd arrive at some appointments where people go, yeah, I watched your whole video. I had one lady who said, I got I got your email and I forwarded it to my husband, who's an engineer, and he watched it. And he says, honey, you got to come watch this. And she said, I watched the whole thing. I could understand everything you're talking about. And I was like, okay, I think I'm onto something here.
Mm-hmm.
And So then, you know, I'm building this content, I'm sort of putting this together, and then the lead count just starts going down at this company that I'm with, right? They generate all their leads from a big box store, pretty good quality leads, but they have trouble hiring those lead generators that stand in the store. Most people who are successful in that are 60 years and older. The young people don't really want to do that job.
Sure.
Yeah. And then I would visit those people and say, are people asking you for a price? And they go, oh yeah, every day I have 100 people walking past pointing to that condenser saying, how much is it? And I go, and what's the age group of those people? Well, they're the younger people. So I'd go back to the company and say, listen, why don't we just try this, you know? And I just couldn't get anywhere. They were part of a bigger company. They're part of a group of 50 companies. And I made multiple attempts to go back and say, look, we can turn this lead generation thing on and off, you know, but I think we should try that. And I finally went, okay, I got to find myself a smaller company. So I resigned and found I wouldn't call it a mom and pop, but it's definitely a smaller, the owner is still there involved.
Uh-huh.
And he was willing to embrace what I was doing. And so so when I stepped into that role, there were actually a couple of other things that I got involved with that I've been helping with. So now I'm really back for the first time where I can focus on, okay, let's implement. It's already implemented at the company. It's already on their website. But there are a couple of other things I'm working on. And that's kind of how I got to this point.
So if any of our viewers wanted to see Daniel Discovers Comfort, they could just go to YouTube and type that in?
Yes, just danieldiscoverscomfort.com is actually a website, and you'll find my videos linked there.
Okay.
If you just want to understand the pricing side, because so what I've done since is I've combined these two things with providing a price online and then tying that up with the content, right? And that's called justgivemetheprice.com.
Okay.
And I heard that, you know, from a few customers who, you know, I'd sit down. There was one guy in particular is like, just give me the price. And I closed my presentation book and just gave him the price and I got the deal, you know. And it was like, yeah, I understood where he was coming from.
Sure.
Yeah. But so justgivemetheprice.com gives you the other information. But here's what you can do, which is pretty cool. You go to the company's website that I'm currently working with, and that's called dacosystems.com. Mm-hmm. And on the homepage, you'll see there's a link that says you can get an online price. You're welcome to fill in the form. The first question will ask you, are you a homeowner or a renter? And then there is an option to say, I'm another HVAC contractor testing the system.
Okay.
So by all means, you know, go test it out. We'll know that it's another contractor, and you can kind of get the experience for yourself. So yeah, that's so basically, Ben, if I was going to give you my elevator pitch of what I'm doing today, you can think of me as an online comfort consultant, right? Who's going to help your company provide a price for a fully installed HVAC system, but I'm also going to provide a content component that's going to help sell it, right? So of course, that raises the question, which or the objection of like, you can't sell an air conditioner that way, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say that. For all of the people that have been in the industry for a long time,
yes,
you know, change is difficult for all human beings.
Yes.
But, you know, I think this has been the age-old, you know, the challenge that our industry has gone through.
Yes.
Because there's almost this fear.
Yes.
What happens if I sell it online? What does that do to the comfort advisor? What does that do to the, you know, the way that things have always been?
Yes.
Know, where are things shifting?
So yes.
How do you address that?
Well, the easiest deal I ever closed was with this young couple, probably in their middle 20s, no children, both of them working. I walked in and they bought a $16,000 air conditioner from me within 15 minutes.
Mm.
And they found the company on a Facebook group where people had very good things to say about the company. They knew the product. They had done research on the product. And they somehow knew the price. They had done research on that. And I was like, what just happened here? You know, and I just looked at that and I went, there's nothing wrong with this picture.
Mm-hmm.
So just like I had with my son, you know, where it's like, no, people want to shake your hand and meet you and make sure they like you. I really had to handle myself on it, that's not necessarily the case. And then you have the whole issue of, well, what if, you know, the one room gets too hot or too cold,
right,
and all of that. And I'll tell you, I'm the kind of guy that goes in and does the full survey. I do sit down at the table. I ask all these questions. I find out what's going on. I do a load report. I measure all the ducts at the plenum. I come back and I verify the airflow through the existing system. I do all of that. And here I am saying you can sell a thing online, right? I'll back up. When I first moved to Austin, Texas, I sold sunrooms. And there was one couple that I went and sold, and the company would have me dig a hole next to the house for the soil analysis. We got an engineering report back that determined how deep the slab needs to be. In one case, they came back and they said, you need to put 6 20-foot piers in, bell-shaped piers. It was an $8,000 change order on a $24,000 sale. I was convinced that I'd lost it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to this customer and said, I have bad news. This is what we need to do. And they were like, okay. And it turned out that that particular stretch of Austin has very clay-like soil, and they've had all kinds of issues with it. So I actually became the expert. They now knew that they bought from the right company because we took that step.
Right.
So if you give somebody a price online and it's $12,000 and they go, okay, are we ready for our measurement appointment?
Mm-hmm.
And you get there and you go, this is a mess, guys. It's going to take another $4,000 to handle this.
Mm.
It's not like it's going to blow the deal. But to the millennial, you're going to be the guy that already felt their need because you were willing to give them that price online.
Right.
Right. So, and having sold as much as I did, it's in Atlanta. You know, maybe they just do a better job there. But I can tell you, there's not that many systems that had major issues with them going on. And it's not like there's not an opportunity to address that. That's, you know, so the old thing of, well, you can never sell an air conditioner that way. I just don't see that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the benefit of being somewhat new in the industry and somewhat exterior to it.
Mm.
You know, there are other thoughts that I have about how to roll it out. And I'll just tell you my thoughts about that now. You know, I know the question you kind of ask about, is there anything else you want to say? And this is the answer to that question, which is, it depends a bit where you're at. If you're a one-man, two-man show and you're dealing with your installations day to day and you're generating calls somehow, and you go, I just don't have time to deal with these sales calls. This could be a really good fit for you, right? Because you can give people a price online, and if they like it, they make an appointment, and the chances are your closing rate will be very high. Mm. But you may have to be a little bit more sophisticated to actually get there. So let's say you're a $5 million company, $5 million a year with two salespeople, each doing $2.5 million. And you say, fine, we're going to start implementing this. We're going to start doing online pricing. And those two salespeople are maintaining a 50% closing rate. And now you start giving a price online, and suddenly their life becomes a little easier. And the next year, they're doing $9 million between the two of them because their closing rate went from 50 to 75, whatever. That's how I think you should implement it. I'm not here to tell you this is the way it's going to be in the future. I think it will be. I think certainly in 20 years from now, everybody's going to give a price online. In 10 years from now, it may still not be everybody. But you run the risk of being that guy that's not with the latest trends and going, I'm just going to train my salespeople. Of course you should train your salespeople, right? Mm-hmm. Of course you should take those steps and get good closers on your team and do a good job when you go in and look at the equipment and set yourself apart. And I'm not suggesting that anyone stops doing that. But I am suggesting that you look at this and go, let's plug this into our activity, right? So my elevator pitch to finish that is to go, think of me as an online comfort consultant where I'm going to help give your customer a price and I'm going to sell the air conditioner to them. I'm going to give them data with which they can make a decision so that by the time your guy walks in, he's practically taking an order and he's making sure there's not some other major issue. And that's it.
So I just to follow up on that.
Yes.
You also have some concerns about potentially other players coming into this space. And I think you think that's something important that contractors should be considering as well.
Yeah, there are four other companies that I'm aware of that's already doing this. What sets me apart from them is none of them have the content component, right? It's just, okay, here's a price. It's like, well, what am I buying here or what am I getting?
Right.
Right? That you have to provide content with that. So what I see in the industry is you have YouTube content creators, and there's some really good guys there. I've watched hours and hours of those videos because I had to get educated quickly, including all of yours. But they sometimes get a little bit too technical, I find, with based on my sales experience, is there's just this much a customer needs to know. Most people are going to buy an air conditioner maybe two times, three times a lifetime. So it's not something that people pour hours over researching, but at that moment when they need to buy it, then they really need just the right information. So what I fear may happen with other players in the market is people go, oh yeah, I know this company, I've plugged it into my website and it didn't really work for us, right? Why wouldn't it work? Because you're not following it up with the right content. Mm. If a follow-up text goes out saying, hey, did you come right? Are you still looking for a system? Versus, hey, take a look at this video so you really understand why you may want to consider a variable speed unit. That's the difference. And I think some people are going to want to fail. They're going to go, well, I told you it's not going to work, right? So my advice is take it slow, you know. Do all your current successful actions and then look at plugging this in. And then get feedback from your existing sales team and say, hey, what are those appointments like?
Mm-hmm.
The other fear I think people would have is, well, if I do give a price and it's $12,000 and now the customer has sticker shock and they I better get a few more bids on this, and somebody comes in with a $9,000 price, did I lose that opportunity? Because I wasn't there in the house to really build a rapport and establish that relationship. And I think that's a legitimate concern.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the follow-up information is so important. So what, and this is where I'm at with this, Ben, is I've got the content on, if you go to dacosystems.com, you can get a price online today. The part that I'm working on is how do you promote that? So the promotion ahead of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you currently running your traditional ad that would, pay-per-click ad that would be good for, you know, somebody searching HVAC replacement near me, and you start tweaking those ads and you say, get a price for a fully installed system, and you start plugging that into Facebook. Facebook is more of where I think my kind of shopper will be, because the system may still be running, but they've had some issues and they're starting to do a bit of research. And because Facebook tracks where they look, what they're looking at, you start showing them as, hey, you can get a fully installed price online, mm-hmm. right? There's a certain percentage of buyers that are in that proactive phase. And that's where this is a really good appeal, because now you can appeal to them. They get that price and they go, well, it's still running, but I'm going to start doing this research. And you can build yourself as the opinion leader in that area. So here's another very interesting thing that occurred. So when I went to the smaller company, they have a full-time marketing person. They used to have an agency and they took it back. Mm. And she's been there for 5 years. So I'm the new guy in, I'm, you know, ruffling a few feathers here. What's this guy doing? And the owner brought me in. And I sort of have to navigate my way through this. And I go, I think we should find an agency to help us with just Facebook ads. And I spoke with 6 agencies and they all turned us down. They were like, no, we want all or nothing.
Mm.
And so I went, okay, we're going to have to figure this out ourselves. So we actually signed up for a course on how to run our own Facebook ads. Well, then I came to the summit over here, walked up to one of the tables of your recommended suppliers, and started communicating with them. And it's a Mediagistic. And yeah. they have a guy named Chris St. John, who developed a division for the company that deals with very small air conditioning companies. And him and I started talking and I said, hey, by the way, would you be willing to help me with just a Facebook campaign? And he goes, absolutely. We have a consulting package. We charge, you know, and so that's who we decided to work with, right?
Mm-hmm.
To go, okay, now we're going to run Facebook ads and we're going to test various things. We were generating leads on our own, but I felt like there were a couple of things we didn't know. And there's so much to know about that industry. So I feel better working with an agency. So now we've just started rolling out with them. And then on the back end, so after somebody completed the form, they're also helping us with the automated response. And that includes sending an email or sending a text. And what's in that text? So every one of those communications has a link to a video you can watch. And the whole idea is to create interest and build that interest.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's kind of where we're at.
Well, that's pretty amazing. I love the story. I love the outside perspective coming into an industry, shaking things up a little bit, just the fresh ideas and the thoughts that you're doing. And I'm so excited to see what happens as you continue your journey discovering HVAC and where you are a year, 2 years, 5 years from now, and where everything's going. Do you have any last words of wisdom, maybe for that person that's watching here thinking, hey, maybe I should get into HVAC? What would you say to that person that may be considering that right now?
You mean for someone who's not in HVAC at all?
Yes.
At this point? I think it goes back to what I said earlier. It's an industry that turns around very fast, mm-hmm. right? It's a high ticket dollar item, and it gets installed like that. You know, I don't think, if you compare it to other trades like plumbing or electrical or whatever, I don't know of another industry that turns as fast as this one. So if you have some interest in this industry, it's like, yeah, man, check it out. It's huge, you know, it's never going to go away. And there's all these wonderful new tools. I watched one of your recent podcasts, you know, mm-hmm. with the guy from San Antonio who's just embracing all of this new technology. I'll say one more thing to existing people who looked at this and are looking and go, oh, I didn't think you can do it that way. You know, I always think of Kodak. You know, Kodak had the patent on the first digital camera.
Mm-hmm.
They owned the patent, right? Kodak should have become Facebook. If the senior leadership in that company looked at that and said, oh, you can now have a memory online, that's what they could have become. Instead, they insisted that the future is in film, right? And they were making lots of money doing film. But you can just imagine how those stats started going down. And the efforts, you could see the efforts. You know, we're putting kiosks in CVS pharmacies and we're doing this and we have these displays and eventually it's like it's gone, right? It's like, come on, you know, you can get with the times. And that's what I would tell the older guys whose first thought was you can never do it this way don't be a Kodak, you know, embrace these new things. There's lots of very exciting things around. And Ben, thanks for what you're doing to make them known to everybody.
Daniel, I really appreciated having you come in here. I hope to have you on a future episode. I'd love to check in with you from time to time and see how things are going. Thank you so much for coming in. And for all of you that are out there, please go ahead and like this episode if you'd like to see more of these types of episodes. And also, if you haven't already, please make sure you hit the follow button. That way you'll be notified of every other episode that we have coming up as we release them and put them out there. Thank you so much, and we hope to see you on a future episode soon.